And now we turn to your letters. Yesterday we brought you the story of McKay Hatch. He's the 15-year-old from South Pasadena, California, who has launched a personal crusade against swearing, calling his movement the No Cussing Club, a movement that includes this rap video.
Every other word was burning in my ears, so I took a new stand, and I challenged all my peers. If you want to hang with us, I don't want to hear a cuss. If you want to hang with us, I don't want to hear a cuss. Don't cuss!
Well, our coverage of McKay's campaign provoked a colorful debate on the webpage.
Jonathan Horowitz posted this. Maybe it's because I'm from New Jersey, but I love profanity. When used sparingly and appropriately, it sounds beautiful. It can feel great, it can be very funny, and it's never hurt anyone. Don't get me wrong, I'm a very nice guy with a good job and a helping profession, but I love to curse. Language without cursing is like mild salsa, light beer, or flag football. It's an intentionally weakened bastardization of the real deal.
But several commended McKay's efforts. Keith McDiffitt of Mount Gilead, Ohio, writes, "It was refreshing to hear your story on the anti-cussing crusader yesterday afternoon. Kudos to this young man and the group who is joining him."
Well, it wasn't all cursing on our show yesterday. We also invited listeners to chime in on a more serious concern, the economic crisis, and what to call it. Stephen Diamond of Joshua Tree, California, took a page from history with the Greater Depression.
While Jason Dietrich of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, offered the Great Comeuppance. And Barbara Webster of Burnsville, North Carolina, says, let's just call it what it is, the Big Adjustment.
Well, now a note of remembrance for a woman whose story we've followed over the past few years. Ethel Williams of New Orleans never lost hope about moving back into her home in the Upper Ninth Ward. It had been ravaged by floodwaters when the levees broke after Hurricane Katrina.
In the spring of 2006, a year and a half after the storm, President Bush stood with his arm around Mrs. Williams, and she became a national symbol of hope that help finally would come.
We've got a strategy to help the good folks down here rebuild. Part of it has to do with funding. Part of it has to do with housing, and a lot of it has to do with encouraging volunteers from around the United States to come down and help people like Miss Williams. So we're proud to be here with you, Miss Williams, and God bless you.
I'm proud that you're here, Mr. President, and I couldn't ever forget you.
Well, you need to remember those people a lot quicker than remembering me, because they're the ones that are going to help. She promised to cook me a meal.
Oh, yes. I'm going to cook
once they get the house up and running.
Thank all the volunteers and everybody that's helping to make this everything work.
Well, never bitter, Mrs. Williams visited the White House at the president's invitation. Even last year, her home still in ruins, she considered herself to be one of the lucky ones. She finally got a check for more than $100,000 to rebuild her home on Pauline Street, and she was talking about cooking that gumbo for President Bush.
The house was completed and furnished last month at Christmas time, but by that time, she was too sick with cancer to move in. Ethel Williams' daughter called to let us know that she had died this past Saturday at the age of 75.